Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys Talk Radio, where real sports guys talk real sports. You're on with the game changer, B. Will Ray. We on for the next hour. Y'all all know it, because if LeBron got to think, if Paxton put his hands on him.
What heck am I going to say?
Wait.
LeBron's a big boy.
I know we want to get into that. I know we want to get into LeBron. But what's wrong with Chicago that people just lose their minds? I got to talk about this for a minute. Now, Zambrano this week, you know, got ousted and will be out till well after the All-Star break because of a blowout. For the second time, somebody in Chicago likes to put their hands on somebody. Actually, the third time, because didn't Zambrano beat up a catcher a couple years ago?
Something like that.
I just had to throw that in there. I didn't want to get too far because I didn't want to spend the night not to.
I know, but I want to say this: when he's all up in Derek Lee's face, I mean, I had never seen somebody's face popping out. He was up. I was like, he lost his mind. He lost his mind. Did pitching this bad drive you to that state of mind? Yeah. He just lost his mind. I was just like, what is going on? They're talking about anger management, everything else. I'm thinking, he just needs to be sent home. Can you just kick him out the locker room?
Putting in timeout.
You know, what do you do? Can you just lock him out the building? What can you do?
Yeah.
You take one of them bats to his ass.
I tell you what it is, man. I know exactly what it is. The Cubs suck. Simple as that, man. You talking to a White Sox fan. I wish nothing but ill will upon anything the Cubs touch. Great. I'm so happy. And he went out with Ozzie the night before. And he was kicking it with Ozzie. I'm sure Ozzie was like, yeah, man, go ahead. Snap. Tell them about them. Tell them about themselves, man. They don't feel when you pitch. I see it. You know, I was thrilled to find out that him and Ozzie was hanging out. I'm like, that's how we do it, Ozzie. That's how we do it. Just undermine everything that they do on the north side. I love that.
And they just sound confused. They don't know what to do with him. They want to bring him back in the bullpen. It's just a mess. What they pay like.
And they know what to do. The Cubs know what to do. Just lose. Just keep losing. That's what y'all good at. That's what y'all been good at. How many years is it? 158? What? How many years since they won anything of importance?
Goodness.
I'm so thrilled. I hate the Cubs, if you can't
100.
Tell.
It's over 100. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, it's one more year. Whatever it is, add one more year to it.
Loving it. Every time one of these goofy Cub players, next I'm waiting on Lou Piniella to slap somebody.
He might.
Oh, he's due. That's what playing for the Cubs will do to you, man. Fans drunk, ain't paying attention.
Oh,
catching fly balls, game before the World Series. And fans come that don't even watch the game, man. It's like a high school football game.
It is.
Kids all in the stands ain't even looking at the field. They socializing.
I went to my first game in Wrigley Field this summer, and it was a tight game in like the seventh, eighth inning. against the Pirates, and Cash was leaving.
So you had to go home and take a cold shower.
I'm thinking, what is going on in here? I was talking to him, like, what are they leaving for? The game is still in the balance. It's the Pirates. You can come back.
What you say? It's the Pirates. Y'all can win.
You can win.
They're like, no, we can't. No, we can't. We've seen this before.
Pirates have been serving them. I'm just like, man, y'all, what kind of fans we got here? Y'all like L.A. Laker fans.
They worse than Laker fans, man. Laker fans there for the spectacle. They there to be seen. Cub fans there to just get towed down and act a fool, man. That's all it is, man. I bet if they stop selling liquor at the Cubs games, Wrigley Field would be a ghost town. Wrigley Field would be so empty. Anybody going to watch no baseball over there, man?
They falling out of everything around Wrigley Field, all the bars out there. I was like, my goodness. Why would you try to win when the fans are still coming?
Exactly. Exactly.
Get me out of here. Send me to Pittsburgh. At least we don't try to do something. I'll get traded at something midseason. But, yeah, that's a lot of money that they got going down the drain. But, you know, we got to get into this. I know we got to – I don't know if we're going to spend the whole hour on it, but we sit here. We know we're on the eve of the biggest free agency period in NBA in a long time or in history, and we got all kinds of rumors out there. Marcus Dunn created a storm on Facebook. He got folks tumbling, folks losing mind. All the Chicago fans going crazy. Like you talking a whole bunch of other stuff. Lay your position out again, Marcus. Why don't you lay your position out?
Absolutely. Okay. Now, this is my position, all right? LeBron considers himself a businessman. And the way I'm viewing this whole decision that he has in front of him, that if he is really viewing this as a business decision, in my opinion, the best decision for him to make, not saying that he's going to make this decision. I'm not psychic, so I ain't trying to predict what he's going to do. All I'm saying is, from where I sit, from my position, again, not knowing this young man, not knowing what his priorities are, and just wildly speculating as I do, it seems like New Jersey / Brooklyn is the best place for him to go. And here are my main points from an ownership standpoint. LeBron has said on several occasions, now I'm just going by what the man said. Again, I don't know the cat personally, but he has said on several occasions that he wants to become a figure that transcends his sport. He wants to become a global icon. Looking at the ownership, you have two cats who have successfully done the things that he wants to do. He wants to be a billionaire. They got a billionaire owner from Russia. You know what I mean? And this cat is willing to spend money, but he also knows how to run an organization, which he's proven. You don't make $1 billion on accident. Ain't that much luck in the world. All right? So you got an owner who understands business, who understands how to market, and who can connect LeBron in a way that no other owner in the NBA right now can. And I think that's going to play a big part in LeBron, because he's looking at this as a partnership. Like, he's not looking at this like, okay, I'm coming to work for you. No, we're going to work together to build this up. So that's one thing. That's one part. So, you know, the Russian, and I call him the Russian because I ain't going to try to say his name. So I just call him the Russian, and that's what he's going to be known on this show as, the Russian. All right, so he got the Russian, you know, and then that's Jay-Z. That's the Jay-Z factor. Now, you know, on Facebook I pointed this out. Jay-Z is one of the few artists in hip-hop, a genre of music that is really easy to put into a box. He's ripped that box apart, shredded it, torn it up, and wiped his backside with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is known globally, you know. He's known across the globe. So he has two role models, two mentors in New Jersey who can walk him through the whole process of becoming what he wants to become. That gives him a leg up on anybody else in the game right there. The next thing that they got, to me, they got some pretty solid building blocks. Now, you could argue that Rose and Nora are a better combination, but I would prefer to have Lopez and Harris in New Jersey over and Noah in Chicago for the following reasons. To me, LeBron and Rose are the same player. Rose has a huge ceiling, and that's what people are talking about, and that's why people think they would be good together. But if LeBron comes to town, Rose is never going to reach that ceiling. So he's not going to be that player that you think he's going to be based upon what you've seen his first 2 years without LeBron. Because given that they're the same type of player, you know, neither one of them is a great shooter. They're decent shooters. Neither one of them is a great shooter. So what is the defense going to do? They're both penetrators. They're both attack the rim guys. The defense is going to back up. Then you got Noah, who can't shoot. So the defense is going to play off him. So you got three guys that help defense at all times. Good luck with that. You know what I mean? That's a similar situation to the situation he was in Cleveland. You know, with a coach who coached defense. It sounds like Cleveland. You know? Whereas in New Jersey, I think Harris's upside as a complementary player is higher than Rose's upside because of the structure of his game. Harris is more of a quickness type of guy. He can get to the rack, but he can shoot. He has a good jump shot. He can take pressure off LeBron by handling the ball. He can create his own shot. He gets to the line a ton. And then I think Lopez is the real piece that is tremendous in New Jersey, because I think he's a guy that LeBron, he's the type of player that LeBron hasn't played with yet. LeBron hasn't played with a five or a four man who he can just dump the ball into and be like, go get two. From the tip in a playoff game, LeBron has never had a guy who he could go to early on and say, establish the paint. He's never had that. Everything Cleveland got and all the success LeBron had was getting fast breaks. Those were the easy baskets that Cleveland got. They never got easy baskets in half court. You know, and Lopez offers that option as opposed to Noah, who's a good player. I like Noah. I like his game. I like what he brings to the table. But if I got to choose between starting a franchise, if I had to choose between Noah and Lopez, I'm taking Lopez because Lopez can do more offensively and he still plays good defense and protects the rim. I'm not talking about, you know, an Amari Stoudemire type cat who can only play one end of the floor. Lopez averages two blocks a game. He's going to block two shots a night, protect the rim, and he can guard Dwight Howard, which is what people are forgetting. The whatever LeBron does, he still has to put himself in a position to match up with the other teams in the East. So that's the other reason. Now, the last reason is they're moving to Brooklyn in 2 years. Now, LeBron could play in South Beloit for the next 2 years and draw crowds. So people saying, oh, they're going to be in Newark, and LeBron doesn't want to be in Newark. So that's going to turn him off there. If LeBron is looking at this as a long-term decision, playing in Newark for 2 years ain't going to bother him, because if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're going to be winning in Newark. So, and then in a year or two, they're going to move to Brooklyn. So to me, it's almost a no-brainer. Like, if that's what you're looking at and those what his priorities are, it's there in New Jersey more so than anywhere else, you know? And that's how I view it. I mean, I think that situation has the most upside. Now, whether he's looking at it that way, I don't know. But from afar, that situation has the most upside given what seemed to be his priorities.
But he could also find himself in a couple of years just really unhappy. And let's go back to the first part where you talked about the billionaire. LeBron right now is shaking things up in Cleveland, maybe not all by himself, but with apparently his entourage. And one thing you have to know about a billionaire is that he ain't going to handle no entourage. And in a couple years, and you're going to have to remember Jay-Z. You know, if LeBron wants to know what it's like to work for Jay-Z, call Nas. Call Nas. Because he's going to tell you, at the end of the day, LeBron works for me. You know.
And I agree with that, but at the same time, I think it's like, it won't be like Jay-Z. It won't be like Nas working for Jay-Z with LeBron and Jay-Z, because it'll be like Jay-Z working for Jay-Z.
Okay.
Because that's what LeBron is. Like, LeBron's got just as many chips as they will have.
Sure. No, well, yes and no. You know, you're talking about two two men who have established themselves. LeBron is still establishing himself. This contract will put him up into the upper crest, without a doubt. This contract, and if it's at Cleveland, if it's at Chicago, if it's at New Jersey, but you're already talking about, you know, two good mentors if they want to be mentors, as long as he listens. See, his entourage has to change.
Yeah, and I think the only way he goes there if they want to be mentors.
Right.
I think that's the only way he goes there. If they're not interested in helping him develop himself and his
right.
brand and everything that comes along with that, he's not going to go there.
Oh, but they'll tell him anything he wants to hear right now. But once that contract is signed, at the end of the day, Nas works for me. Now, he'll say the same thing about LeBron. Let him start acting up. Let him start showing up late for practice. Let him do something wrong. And successful people don't have a lot of tolerance for people that don't want to let him start, you know, shooting a bad percentage. I don't know.
And I understand that, but I don't think that's LeBron's M.O. I think one thing you can be assured of with LeBron is that he wants to be the best player he can be. And he's displayed that to this point. So I don't think you'd have to worry about him cutting practice or even shooting a bad percentage, because I think he's gonna figure out how to get the right shots. You know, I don't think his game wins. This ain't Allen Iverson they're trying to sign on.
The other thing that he has displayed is that he wants that partnership. He wants that partnership. He wants to be, you know, if you look at the way they're shaking everything up in Cleveland, it's obvious that they've shaken those things up based upon, you know, probably something that upset LeBron or whatever. You know, they won the most games in the league this year, and they fired the coach. Now, that has to have something to do with LeBron. Otherwise, you can't explain it.
Oh, absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with LeBron. But I also think it has a lot to do with the performance that they've had the last 2 years, where it seems like offensively they just haven't been – they weren't able to create anything other than LeBron. And so I think they felt the three of the four last coaches of the year aren't coaching anymore. So
right.
coaching in the NBA – I wouldn't put too much into coaching in the NBA, because that's the first thing to go when things don't work out. It's the easiest
right.
chip to move, you know. So they are the first to get axed, whether they're successful or not.
But
Sam Mitchell, Byron Scott, Mike Brown, and then Scott Brooks, who won it last year. He's still coaching, but if again now they got expectations in Oklahoma City. If he don't perform this year, or if they don't look like they're progressing the way they're supposed to do, he don't get fired. That's just the way the NBA is. Coaches are so expendable in the NBA. Only cat that maybe he got – I mean, he's a great coach, but maybe he also got some pictures of the owner doing some doing some wrong things, you know, because Jerry Sloan seems to be the only cat who can keep a job.
I agree with everything you say about New Jersey. I really do. But the more I look at this situation, the more I would be afraid to get into the LeBron Derby. If he had three rings, he'd be sitting in Cleveland. Nobody would be saying a thing.
And see, that's kind of where I feel about this whole free agency thing has been real interesting to me, because a lot of people finna lose jobs. It's
yeah,
a lot of
right.
these GMs is about to write their pink slip right now. You know
yeah.
what I mean? They might as well print it up and just sign their name on it and leave the owner's name blank. And just put it away in their desk until it's ready. Because Joe Johnson, not a max player. I don't care what nobody say. Chris Bosh, in my opinion, is really not a max player. Cat ain't been out the first round. He has not been out of the first round of the playoffs. And you going to give him max money? Come on. Amari Stoudemire, don't play defense. Is probably one of the worst defenders at his position. Okay, so where is he going to go win the championship? If you look at the top 15 defensive teams in the NBA, they all made the playoffs, all right? The one team that made the playoffs that wasn't in the top 15, Phoenix. Where did Amari play? Phoenix. You know what I mean? So Carlos Boozer, not a max player. You know, it's two max players in his class, D-Wade and LeBron. That's it. anybody else you get, you give a max contract to, in 3 years, I guarantee they're going to regret it. And in 5 years, when that contract gets ready to get up, be up, you going, that player is going to add to his name legally. Joe Johnson should legally change his name now to Joe Johnson's expiring contract. He should go ahead and do that today, because in 5 years, that's what everybody is going to be referring to him as.
But anybody that doesn't get LeBron is going to go after any and all of those.
Which is going to be crazy, because I'm like, you getting fired next week, you getting fired in 2 years, you getting fired in 3 years, because that's what's going to happen, because Joe Johnson ain't going nowhere. He ain't winning no championships unless he's hitched to LeBron. Chris Bosh ain't going to win no championship unless he's hitched to D-Wade or LeBron. Amari Stoudemire is the same way. You put Joe Johnson and Amari Stoudemire together, good luck with that. Because what's better, how is that any better than Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash? It's not.
No.
You know, you put Joe Johnson with Carlos Boozer. How is that any better than Carlos Boozer and Darren Williams? It's not. And then you're going to pay him max money so that you're strapped to bring
that's
in anybody else to play with him?
That's the other thing. There has to, you know, there has to be some sensibility. You know, like you said, they're not max players. So some of these players may end up sitting. Some of these players are not going to get the offers that they want.
Hey, gentlemen, we got a caller joining us on the air. Who's joining us on the air? Who's comes around the table to contribute to this conversation? Who we got on the air?
Gentlemen, the real sports guys. What's going on?
The ball right in the building. What's going on, man?
Had to get in on this conversation with you guys. Good love of the show. Had to get listening on the sidelines, so I thought I'd put my toe in the water with the experts out there and see how it was going.
The water's cold.
The water's cold.
Don't rock no Tito.
Yeah. the water's going to be cold for a lot of folks, yeah. All this stuff shakes down, I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see how it all plays out. All the rumors are flying, but now it's coming up to time to start signing on the dotted line. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah. Now, Mo, on Facebook, you was really into the idea of LeBron going to Chicago better than New Jersey. And, you know, again, that's my opinion that New Jersey is the best situation. He may wind up in Chicago. But to me, given all the things that he's expressed that, you know, are priorities to him, or at least that have been thrown out there as priorities to him, he actually ain't said nothing, which is interesting in itself. He's been, you know, a mime throughout this whole process. You know, you kind of felt Chicago may have been a better situation. Why don't you explain that to the audience out there?
Yeah, I just see that, you know, if I'm looking at LeBron, if his goal is to really be the best and looking at trying to measure up to, you know, NBA and what Kobe's doing now, that, you know, winning championships and multiple rings, you know, I said Chicago, I think, has the best situation to come into. You know, obviously, you know, the team with Rose and with Noah, but I think also the X factor I see is having that extra Chicago kind of maneuver now. It looks like on draft night to actually get that extra contract so they can actually have two players they can sign, two max players they can sign. So for him to get up there, you know, to have, like, you know, Chris Bosh is with the rumor that World Wide West was putting out there. So, you know, you got LeBron, Chris Bosh and Rose, you know, having that kind of three-headed monster, you know, like that, I think that's what they believe the team is going to need to compete. You got to have multiple stars, whereas he goes to some places, you know, there are other places that are out there. You know, if he's, you know, staying in Cleveland, you know, he's still kind of being the one-man show. You know, New Jersey, so they got a couple of places, but, you know, I don't see, you know, at least to the level that I think Chicago has. And to be able to compete with the big goal is to go against the Lakers right now, the team to beat. So, you know, you see with Boston, you know, they had to have all their kind of players really on deck to push it to seven. Obviously, their players are aging and stuff, but, you know, to have a younger team too. So you also have, you know, Rose is, you know, still pretty young, 21, 22 years old. You know, if Bosh comes, you know, he's still relatively young. So I think that Chicago I saw as the place that I thought had the most upside potential for the immediate future and then also kind of long-term to kind of stay together too.
Well, what
there's other comments out there, other arguments out there to be made, and, you know, Dwayne Wade down there in Miami. I think you know, he's older too, and he's had a lot of wear and tear on the body down there. So I hear that's become the rumor lately, is that Dwayne Wade was coming to New York to meet with him or something like that. And Bosch, they're talking. I think what Stephen A. Smith was saying, that he thought that he got some rumors or some of his contacts told him that it was a done deal going for Miami. So that'd be another kind of wild card that kind of comes out of there.
What would teaming up with Bosch or Wade do for LeBron's legacy? I mean, what is that? How is that going to put him in the same breath as an MJ? You know, nobody else was able to surround themselves with that kind of talent. You know, you would expect a championship at that point. You'd almost, you know, that's Yankees type stuff. And it doesn't sit well with me that if any of these guys under 25 get together with max contracts, I don't know what it would do for the NBA. It would make for a real long season. I think so. I mean, you could see it in Chicago when Michael was there and he had Pippen, you know, because Pippen played that second fiddle. You're talking about, you know, future, you know, top 100 players. Dwayne Wade and LeBron play together. You know, now you got a dream team, start of a dream team in the NBA. And I think that would get hard to watch night in and night out.
And I would add, that's the part that I don't understand about this whole free agency period and this kind of summit kind of attitude. Kobe would never meet with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like he would never meet with anyone. You know, he would never. The part of it, the process of him learning, even though he had Paul Gasol, the process of learning how to win and helping to teach his team how to win, and for him to lead the team. Even though Paul had an incredible playoffs, Kobe led the team, and that's the legacy part. Yeah, if you put Dwayne and LeBron and Bosch together, I mean, Dwayne has already got a ring, so. In a way, it looks like Dwayne is showing LeBron how to win a championship. I mean, it's that's the part. I mean, I would take the Chicago or the New Jersey scenario before I would, if you're looking for legacy, before I would take Miami. It looked like he just went to the express line, the self-checkout, you know, rather than having to work towards it. And that's not the Hollywood story.
Which leads you to believe that, you know, Cleveland is not out of it. Which leads you to believe that Cleveland cannot be out of this whole mix. Because at the end of the day, his legacy will be intact. You know, will be kept in Cleveland. He can take the money. He can take as much money or as little money as he wants.
Maurice,
if he starts winning championships, it's not going to matter where he's at.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. If he starts winning championships, he'll be the global icon.
The question I got for Mo is, when you're looking at the other free agents out there, who do you think fits best if Chicago were to get two max players? Who do you think fits best into that framework with LeBron? Because, I mean, you got Joe Johnson, who's a possibility. You got Bosch, who's a possibility. Given the landscape of the East, who you think fits better into that equation if LeBron goes to Chicago, the team with Rose and Noah? Who do you think would slide in as that the next option that makes the most sense?
Well, I mean, I think Bosch is, you know, the best option because he is more of a lower post player. He's not like a back to the basket kind of center, but or forward. But I think he's gonna more of a, you know, more of a box kind of around the box kind of player. LeBron, like we kind of talked about on Facebook, LeBron and Derrick Rose, both are kind of more of a slashing, attacking the basket kind of players. But I think LeBron is going to develop that outside shot, kind of like Kobe and Michael are doing, did. And I think even D. Rose, as you know, a little bit, you know, he's going to get better as the years go along with his jump shot. So, you know, those guys will be able to attack the basket, you know, get to the foul line, and you know, when it comes down to crunch time. But you know, Noah obviously is lacking in his offensive game. But, you know, he's going to be a guy kind of a, you know, crash the boards kind of player, like a Robin type of kind of guy. So I think, you know, you have a guy who you can actually spread the defense a little bit with, you got to stay honest with, and, you know, and Rose and LeBron to move around the outside. Joe Johnson, I think, is a really interesting piece as well because, you know, he is a real kind of the best outside shooter of the kind of the free agent classes out there. And although I've not really been impressed with his kind of playoff performances. But I think that, you know, if you look at it, teaming up with LeBron as, you know, those guys, you know, Derrick Rose or wherever, like, you know, even if LeBron doesn't go to Chicago, like, if Derrick Rose is going to be, you know, slashing and, you know, drawing double teams, kind of collapsing the lane, kicking back out to a shooter, that's one thing the Bulls, I think, definitely could use as well.
And then do they have to take another max player? That's the other, you know, I think Chicago has a lot to offer already. And would you take another max player at this time?
Interesting. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but you guys kind of brought the point before that. Yeah, some of these guys, I think it would be interesting what kind of offers are going to come out there besides the, you know, I think LeBron and Bosh are probably the two, obviously kind of the two top of there. But if these other guys, are they really going to get the max offer? And, you know, they were talking about, you know, Joe Johnson's and the Boozers and those of the world. Are they really going to get the max kind of deals out there? It's going to be interesting to see what kind of offers they actually get because some of those guys, yeah, they are obviously for this draft class, they kind of get lumped all together, but, you know, the whole class is not necessarily equal in terms of, you know, what they've been doing and their abilities and if they really deserve to get that. So I think, yeah, that LeBron's been the big talk of everything, but the kind of the next day after he's assigned, it's going to be interesting to see where the chips fall with other guys.
You know, because I could see Dirk going to Chicago if LeBron goes to Chicago.
Yeah, I mean that's an option. Yeah, I that's an option, and I could, you know, what I think the money's going to be made, like I was just saying, we were saying off the air, is it's kind of like everybody's looking at LeBron, but I think somebody's going to escape out the back door, and one of these savvy GMs is going to package some of these mid-level stars, and you know I don't know if it's a Utah, I don't know who it is, but somebody's going to sneak out the back door. And when the dust settles, you're gonna go, wow, they got better. Like,
right?
You're gonna say, wow, they got better. Like everybody's talking about LeBron and Bosh going to Chicago, but you know somehow they got Boozer and XY. You know, and when you put their collective together and they moved a couple starters to the bench, their team is deeper. Yeah, that's the team I'm gonna look for. Like while everybody's celebrating at Chicago or New Jersey got LeBron. I'm looking at that other team, the other GM that just made themselves better or made, you know, that they able to get some of these other players like a David Lee or someone like that, you know, or somebody snuck a Ray Allen in and now they're deeper, you know, because now they got Ray. And Ray might have started, but he might be coming off the bench or he might be starting, you know, those kind of things you never know. And that's the piece I'm really interested to see how it's going to come out. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I think those GMs are going to earn their money. You already see Milwaukee making the move that they've already done to add value. I mean, that stuff is going under the radar.
And that's where I think, you know, this even in the draft, and we haven't even touched on the draft, but even in the draft, I felt like this was a draft where a savvy GM, because everybody is throwing all their chips into this free agency, you know, into the free agent pool, everybody's putting all their chips in the middle of the table going towards the free agents. A savvy GM could have really picked up some assets in this draft and stole some guys from teams that was trying to cut salary or didn't want to have to, you know, have a rookie on the books this year. And, you know, I think you're going to look back at this draft and see that there's going to be a couple teams that you're going to be like, man, I can't believe they stole those guys. And it's going to be because other teams are preoccupied with clearing cap space. So it's going to be interesting to see how this draft class, you know, again, the savvy GM, you know, and I like what the GM in Milwaukee is doing, you know, because I think they picked up a lot of picks, and they got some guys late in the second round who if they had to stay, like Gallen, the kid from Oklahoma, he had to stay another year in college. He probably could have been a first-round pick, you know.
Right.
And so I think they made some good picks and may have put together a solid foundation. They got some big guys, some guys with some athleticism who can play in the post. So we'll see how this draft affects everything in the future, too, because I agree with Devon. I think, you know, silently there are going to be some teams who, if they're smart, are gonna make a few moves, you know, a few key moves. I mean, you're looking at guys who are out there like Kyle Korver. He can go help a team with his shooting ability.
That's
you
right.
know, you're looking at Rudy Gay's a restricted free agent, but he's out there. You know, he could be worth a look. You know, he could be somebody who you bring him in, and he brings depth to your team more than takes away from anything. So, you know, there's definitely going to be some moves. My fear is that it's going to be some, again, it's going to be some GMs out there who overpay. And it's going to be some franchises that start to take a downward turn, which allows some of these franchises that kind of played it differently to rise up, because they're going to, these other teams are going to be right up against the cap every year because they signed, you know, a max player. It'll be, I think with LeBron, I think he has to. I think, you know, as far as pairing him with another player, I think for him to be successful in the East, I think he needs to get a post player. He needs to get with a post player who can score. If that's Bosch, if that's Stoudemire, if that's Boozer, I think pairing him with a free agent perimeter guy isn't going to give him the optimal chance to be successful. I think if you give him a guy who can play post D and who can get buckets, I think that's going to allow him to take his game to a whole nother level.
And I think the only and the other part of the equation, and this is where I'm interested to hear Mo talk about this, the new coach in Chicago. The other part of the equation for LeBron is not only getting the right players, but as we know, you know, if we even look at the pick three in Boston, it took a coach like Doc and some people to really get them, and they made a decision, but getting those guys to learn how to play together required having a coach who could really get them motivated, whether it's Phil for Kobe or whether it's Riley. I mean, I think the one attractive thing about him going to Miami is that, you know, Riley ends up coaching, you know, having a championship-type coach that's going to force him to make adjustments and play in a way that is going to make him expand his game. I know LeBron is motivated. He's self-motivated. So is Kobe, you know. But having a coach that you respect and that can also challenge you, you know, I think that's the other thing about going to New Jersey that, you know, Avery doesn't care. Avery's going to say something to him. And, you know, and can he take that kind of direction if he wants to go to the next level? Because there's some things about his game that he has to, even though he gets a post player, LeBron has to learn how to have better post position because he can close games out himself. So, you know, even though it's going to be good, if you watch Kobe, Kobe can go to the post. Kobe can get those buckets down there in the skinny post. He can do some things down there that he can get to the line. And so LeBron also has to be in a situation where he has a coach. Because he didn't let, I mean, I don't know if it was Mike Brown went up to the task. But Mike, that whole environment, wherever environment he goes to, the coach is going to have some power for him to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
He can't coach himself. He's not Bill Russell. He's going to be a player coach. He's got to have a coach that he respects. And that can also force him to do some things that's going to require him to get on the top. So those are some things that I'm, you know, it's going to be intriguing about this class. But I think the coaching piece has got to come in here. You know, is Thibodeau the kind of guy that can do it in Chicago? I don't know what the situation is. Is Riley going to, you know, get in the chair and drive it again? You know, Avery Johnson. I mean, the coaching piece is going to be the key to get him over the top. You're not going to be able to do it just by getting three guys. This isn't fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know that. So,
right.
You know, basketball isn't just about getting the three guys who look like they can. You got to get folks who can create continuity, create spacing, create the kind of thing that can help you win. That's going to require a coaching staff who can get players to play the right way.
And, again, teaming up with any of these dudes, in my opinion, other than D-Wade, I don't think you're guaranteed a title anytime in the next 2 years. You know, I still think the Lakers are going to be the team you got to go through simply because they know how to do it. They've gotten it done. They know how to
right.
do it. And if Andrew Bynum ever decides to stay healthy, if he can ever be healthy for an entire season, the Lakers are going to be really hard to beat. And they're going to make some moves. And they're going to improve. I mean, the Lakers, the Spurs, you know, Oklahoma City, Portland, you know, those are the teams that are going to quietly make a few moves here or there. And you're going to look at their roster and be like, wow, that's a different
Boston's
team now.
Boston's not done. You know,
right.
Boston is by no means done.
Yeah.
Whether or not they sign Ray or not, that's beside the point. You know, you don't know what kind of money Ray's going to sign for if
mm-hmm.
they go after somebody else.
Right.
And nobody talks about how much cap room they have. And, you know, what is it going to take to keep a championship attitude there?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, and those guys aren't done. I mean, they're just—they're not done. So, it's, this whole free agency, what's going to happen is, you know, what I'm anxious to watch is what the offers to LeBron really look like. What some of these teams are willing to sacrifice. I mean, you have whole cities. This isn't something I've ever seen before. You've got
absolutely
whole cities putting up billboards. You know, they're trotting out celebrities. You know, they start talking about, you know, renaming the Bronx LeBronx. You know, come on. this is the craziest you've ever seen it. I've never seen it like this. And again, you know, it's one of those things that we've talked about. It. He's been in the league 7 years. He doesn't have a championship. And people are going to, you know, they're hooking up their wagon. But man, he's got to win. He's got to win soon.
Yeah, he does. He does. And you know, again, looking at this free agent class, other than D Wade, I mean, nobody's a proven winner. Bosh hasn't been out of the first round. You know, that still baffles me that, you know, we consider this dude a franchise guy. But if you're a franchise guy, especially the way the East has been the last 5 or 6 years, you got to be able to get out the first round. If nothing else, you got to get out the first round in the East.
What about LeBron?
Yeah.
I mean, that's for him not to go any deeper in the playoffs this year than he did last year is a setback.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean,
yeah,
like, you have franchises. I mean, Miami has two guys on their roster right now. They got two guys under contract right now. And both of those guys are only under contract because they're on their rookie deals. I mean, you have a team that's basically saying, we're going to flip our whole roster. We're flipping our whole roster. You got New York who's been planning for this, and New York is going to look dumb as hell in a minute. When they wind up with Joe Johnson and Carlos Boozer, and the fifth seed in the East next year. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the first round out. And they've been building to this point for 2-3 years, you know, trying to clear cap space, you know, with the idea that the summer of 10, they was going to get somebody to come in there and save that franchise.
Yep.
You know, they're almost turning into the basketball version of the Cubs.
Why we gotta go to the Cubs?
I hate the Cubs.
So.
You wasn't listening
earlier.
I would say that again. I hate the Cubs.
I know
you're
stop flattering.
Yeah.
Oh well. Mo, I want to ask. I want to ask you a quick thing as a Chicago fan. Because in some ways the new coach is like Scott Skiles. He's a defensive guy. Like, didn't they play this movie before, and young kids didn't want to do it? What is it? Because it's still got to score points. Chicago got to learn to score, right? They've always – so what's your thought about the new coach?
Thibodeau?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like him a lot. I think that it's a really good pick. You know, I think it's a blessing in disguise that D'Antoni thing didn't work out because – you see, you know, he was out in Phoenix, and, you know, he was happening with the Knicks. Now that definitely went out of pitching position for the LeBron piece because, you know, they don't play any defense. So I think, you know, Thibodeau's got a lot of good grooming with the underdog Rivers, going to the finals a couple of times now. So he pretty much was, you know, said to be the architect of the defensive side of the ball. So I think that he's going to be a really good piece to kind of come in there. But also people, you know, don't forget that, you know, the offense that, you know, Boston had some really good offensive players as well, and I don't think he was just a defensive coach. I mean, I'm sure he was involved on other sides of the ball. With his press conference, he was saying about some offensive things that he saw, and I think he's going to, you know, use the youth that the Bulls have. I think you saw that when the Bulls played the Celtics, you know, a couple years ago when they went to 7 games that, you know, the Bulls were running, so he got a chance to see some of the Bulls players. So I think he's going to be a real good fit in there, and I think, yeah, he does start with defense. And obviously, yeah, you know, like you were saying earlier, is that Marcus was saying that all the teams in the playoffs were, you know, the top defensive team. So, you know, you got to start there. I think it's better to start that way. You know, obviously you got to add a little more offense, but, you know, that comes with, you know, a little bit more players. Hopefully that will come in. You know, they'll get some players, obviously, who are going to be more offensive through this, even if it's not LeBron, they'll get a couple players who are going to be better offensive players than they have now. But I think it's good to have a young team that's, you know, focusing on defense as opposed to the other way around with a lot of teams right now.
Yeah, and as I'm thinking about that, I mean, if I'm Chicago, I might even, if you can get LeBron, you take. But if I'm Chicago, I might, you know, you might even pull the old Dipsy Doodle. Got two slots. you know, if you can't get LeBron, I mean, what would, you know, as we think about the combination that might work, you know, if you don't get LeBron, what's the other combination that would work in Chicago? That's what I would think. I mean, I'm thinking about the counterplay. Like, who would work well in Chicago if you don't get LeBron?
And again, before you get into that, if you don't get LeBron, do you spend all that cap money?
You're right.
Hell no.
You know, hell no. You get a player.
Well, yeah, you get Carmelo coming up next year, a couple of the guys a year after that, I think so. But yeah, they might get a couple of mid-level guys. So they talk about the Rudy Gays of the world, and you're, you know, you get a Boozer, get a Rudy Gay kind of player, you know, David Lee, you know, some guys like that maybe that can kind of help, you know, have a little more depth than if they're kind of going for the one-shot bullet for a guy who may not be the answer.
This is a young Bulls team. I mean, they want to build a team for next year. That's without a doubt. But if you don't get LeBron, I wouldn't, you know, max out two players simply because I could. And Ryan Torchy's ass ain't going to do that anyway. He's not going to do that anyway. You know?
Yeah, well, I want to go back to Ray. I want to get back to you about the point you said about teams having all the players. And I was, you know, I don't know if I agree with that point because, you know, you think about it when the Lakers had, you know, Magic and Kareem and Worthy, you know, the Celtics, you know, had Bird and McHale, DJ. So, you know, a lot of good teams have had a lot of good players. I mean, you know, Shaq and Kobe were together, Dwayne Wade and Shaq were together. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, just because you have a stacked kind of team doesn't necessarily mean that it's already written what's going to happen.
Yeah, but
the fact of the matter
that
is
that was a different NBA. That was a different NBA. It wasn't 30 teams.
It was a smaller
NBA.
It
wasn't 30 teams back then. So it was common for teams to have. That was actually more common for teams to have two or three guys who were really, really good. Where nowadays, I mean, if Bosh, Wade, and LeBron were to get together, I mean, what the hell?
Right, exactly.
I mean, the rest of the Eastern Conference might as well just not show up.
In this NBA, when I made that comment, it was with this NBA. The NBA when you're talking about, you know, you had great Bucks teams at that time. You had great Philly teams at that time. You had great Cleveland teams at that time. I mean, these teams had Pistons. You know, it wasn't, you know, you had five deep, but you had, you know, you didn't have as many teams. It didn't come to Croft as what you're talking about now.
So I pulled up some of the kind of other guys out of that top group of free agents.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at some of the other guys that are going to be available real quick, and I just want to shoot out some names that you know may perk your ears, and you may think, you know, get a couple of these kind of guys together, and they actually may, you know, help out a team. You got Channing Frye is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Josh Howard is going to be an unrestricted free agent. McGrady's going to be out there. Randy Foy, Mike Miller, Nate Robinson is going to be available. Brandon Haywood is going to be available. Kyle Korver, I mentioned him earlier. Let me see. I think that's it. Jermaine O'Neal will be available. Travis Outlaw. But I think other than that, you know, I think, you know, that's about it as far as as far as guys, I think who could contribute and possibly be a part of a decent team that are unrestricted. Restricted guys, you got Rudy Gay, you got Tyrus Thomas, Scola from Houston, Ronnie Brewer, and Josh Childress plus Farmar, J.J. Redick, Kyle Lowry. I mean, that pool is a little bit slimmer than what that top crew is. And, you know, as you guys know, Adam Morrison is going to be available this summer, too. So,
Adam Houston is
he's going to be available next fall, too.
We might have him on the show. Somebody get working on that. We see if we get Adam Morrison on the show. He could cry.
I'm interested, like Mike, you know, but you think like a guy like Mike Miller, you know, you have Mike Miller in with something. I mean, this is a guy.
You add Mike Miller in with LeBron, and I actually think that makes Chicago a different kind of team.
That's right.
Because you get that shooter out there, and you know that creates a different dynamic.
Yeah.
But any one of those players that you talked about, if they end up in Boston or LA, those are those backside players that Duval was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are teams out there that don't need much.
Right.
There are teams out there that
Boston
really
definitely needs youth. Boston needs youth for sure, though. They got to get younger.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
absolutely.
Yes, they do, without a doubt. But again, if Ray Allen signs, and takes on a different role, you know, what room do they have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you look at this, I mean, when the dust settles, man, we're gonna have some great shows. When the dust settles, and you start looking at, because even when you talk about, you know, LeBron and Wade and Bosh playing, it's going to require a coach like Riley to get them to play, right? It's not. You can't just throw any coach in there with those guys. And so, you know, this isn't fantasy hoop, you know. And it doesn't mean that are they necessarily going to be able to beat the Lakers,
right?
You know, you start looking at, you know, let's say the Lakers, you know, Lakers pick up one of these mid levels, you know, add the depth to their team, you know. Now, are you any better off than the Lakers? So, yeah, you get out of the East, but are you better than the Lakers?
And the Lakers are talking about moving Odom. You know, Odom has a contract where, you know, is he getting like 10 mil? If they move him, you know, to the right team for the right piece in return, they could really change that team up and add something to it.
Yeah.
You know, at least they can add some consistency.
Look at how different they look this year with our test. You know, that they don't. These teams don't have to tweak much.
No, they don't. And that's what's going to be so great about this, because, you know, that's where Jerry West used to kill people. You know, Jerry used to destroy folks with stuff like that. Red Auerbach used to kill people like that. You know, some of these great GMs used to just kill you because everybody was going looking one way and they just caught you in the back door. They just caught all kinds of stuff. And so that's what's going to – getting that dust to kind of settle and watch that stuff play is going to be exciting, because, you know, I'm starting to look at some of these lower level free agents, like a David Lee. Think about that. David's talented. Now, you know, this guy can rebound, gobble up stuff. I mean, he's talented. You get him with the right coach and the right system, he can be a beast.
Yeah, or a guy like Tannen Frye. I mean, you got a legitimate 6'11 dude who can come out and shoot 40% from the arc.
That's right.
You know, and he's young.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like that. I mean, he could be an interesting piece in the L.A. You know, you put him on that L.A. team.
Is Phil Jackson going to retire?
Is he going to retire? Yeah, I think Phil's done. He didn't go to parade, did he? I thought I heard that he didn't go to the parade.
Yeah, he said he had a doctor's appointment, didn't he?
That's what it was, a doctor's appointment, right? Man, I didn't skip doctor's appointments before. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't skip doctor's appointment without even calling.
Yeah, well, when your ass is on the spill, you go to your doctor.
I guess so. He doesn't move as well as he used to on the sideline over there. So
now is Doc done? I didn't get a chance. I've been off the. Is Doc retiring or Doc out of it?
I'm not 100% sure. I think Doc is still kind of on the fence. I don't think he's made an official decision yet as to whether or not he's done.
What's free agency?
if they got to go up against that three-headed monster, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron, he may say, "Yeah, fellas, we got to run. We not gonna beat that."
He may be moving down there.
Well, did he play for Riley in New York?
Yeah, I think so.
Was he there when Riley was there?
I know he
had a stint in New York. I don't know if Riley was a coach at the time or not.
Yeah,
but I know Doc had a stint in New York. I'm gonna have to look that up.
The old Nick days when they were brawling and scoring 89 points.
Yeah.
I think he played with him when they played Houston.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think he was in the backcourt with Derek Harbour.
Man, and think about it. If they pick up some good free agents, if they get through the season in decent shape, he might come back. But he might be, you know, he's a good NBA analyst, so he might be in TNT studio or somebody's studio and going to his kid's game. He's done all he can do. So, but yeah, we in terms of transitioning into the draft, we haven't talked much about the draft. What were your opinions on the draft? I guess I'm going to start with this. What were your opinions on Calipari saying this is the best thing that ever happened in Kentucky basketball?
Yeah, that's Calipari, man. That's Calipari. That's him. I mean, he's constantly selling. He's constantly selling. I mean, he's constantly closing. He knows that, you know, the top recruits in the country for the next 5 years are watching the draft. And when he says that, that is going to pique their attention, and that's going to get the attention of a 14- to 15-year-old that, wow, five guys from one team that didn't win the national championship, might I add, winning the first round of the NBA draft. You know, not only has that not happened before, but then, like, you know, on the flip side, if I'm an opposing coach and I'm going in and I'm recruiting against Cal, I'm like, yeah, he had five guys go pro. Did they win anything? No. So is he really a good coach? How you got five pros on your roster and you can't win the title?
That's it. I mean, he is the best salesman I've ever seen when it comes to coaching. He can sell anything. And I'm just going to wonder how long his run is going to happen in Kentucky. You know, if he doesn't win next year, year after, I mean, you love him, but if he doesn't win, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But that was an amazing feat.
And winning isn't going to be his problem at Kentucky. He's going to win. Mm-hmm. Winning championships is going to be what's his problem. Because when you're constantly retooling your roster and you're constantly having to start over with a new crop of one and done, which is what he's getting, you know, and what he's going to keep getting. Because, again, if he has the success that he's supposed to have at Kentucky, you know, guys are going to keep leaving because they're going to have that forum and that platform to showcase what they can do, which is going to up their stock. Winning makes everybody look better when you win. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was listening to an interview of Cal after the draft the next day, and he was talking about who thought that Eric Bledsoe was going to leave after his first year. They didn't consider him a one and done. They didn't consider Daniel Orton a one and done. But when you're winning and the country gets to see these kids over and over and over, and then the scouts get to see them a little bit, I mean, the NBA draft is all about potential. They have that potential and they have a platform to showcase it. It becomes about potential and perception at that point.
And the guy in that draft who I think is just going to kill him, I mean, it's obvious. I think, you know, Evan Turner, to me, is just the most complete player in my mind. And I just think he's going to have a, with Doug and everything, I think he's going to have a year. And so we definitely got to go. We're getting near the end of the show. But we're going to give you a few minutes since you joined us around the table to offer us some final thoughts.
Well, I'd just say in terms of the draft real quickly is that, yeah, Evan Turner I think is an interesting pick. He could be, you know, solid for a long time, but I'm not sure he could be great or not. You know, kind of like your boy Roy out there. I think he was kind of a guy who was kind of a sleeper who has taken a step to a new level. I'm not sure if Evan's – I don't know if I feel it with him quite yet. I got to see him in terms of playing with some guys more of his same size. He's got a good game, though. I think the guy who probably got the best out of this was the guy from Butler, Hayward. I mean, he definitely made a few million dollars off the NCAA tournament. So it's gonna be interesting to see how that plays off with the Jazz down there. But, you know, yeah, it's a fun time, exciting time right now to see what happens with the NBA. And it's, I think, you know, like Calipari said, you know, that it was good for Kentucky, but it's good for the NBA because most of the time, you know, the off season is really not a lot of talk going on. So this is good for the NBA to kind of actually have some talk going on and see what happens with this next couple of weeks. And, yeah, I think it's going to be good for a lot of teams, though. I mean, that some teams that are smart are going to be able to make some things happen. Even if it's not going to be the big splash, it could actually help their teams out in the long run. And a lot of GMs, like I said, might be some might be getting fired, but some of them might be getting some bonuses down the road for what they pull off in this next couple of weeks.
Well, thanks for joining us, and that's it.
All right, love you guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
The real sports guys.
Danny was like, whatever you do, don't let him do it. Professional AU team, man. And Joe Johnson, bro. Chicago should not be in that category. You know, they've been talking about Rondo came to Boston. I get to put this in there.